Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is James Saperstein, CEO of Contravir Pharmaceuticals. The company trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol CTRV. Thanks for joining us today there, James.
Thank you, Juan. Great to be here.
So, starting off for some of our listeners that didn't catch our interview from January this year, can you bring us up to speed there on CRV 431 and TXL?
Sure. So we continue to progress with CRV 431 and TXL. Let me touch bases on TXL first. Since January, we have completed our trial, our proof of concept trial, and we announced our data at EASL, which is the European Liver Society meeting in Amsterdam in April this year, where we compared several doses of TXL, ranging from 5 to 10 to 25, 50, and 100 milligrams, compared to Viriat, 300 milligrams. And we showed that between 50 and, well, both doses, 50 and 100 milligrams, we showed equal efficacy to Viriat head-to-head. So we're quite pleased with that. In parallel, what was going on is we were doing some formulation work in animals, and we decided that while we finished that between 50 and 100 milligrams in terms of efficacy, there was an opportunity to improve our formulation and get that dose down even more. So after the April announcement, we decided to go to Europe and try and do our first trial in Europe, which was a phase one and phase 1A and a phase 1B study in patients to test our formulation. So we're in the midst of doing that right now. Those trials take about 4 or 5 months to conclude. And we're in the middle of, we finished part one and we're just starting part two. And we are looking at a way to bring the winning or 50 or to 100 milligram formulation down to a much lower dose. So that is TXL. On CRV 431, we're also moving very quickly with that. We're hoping to file an investigation new drug application or an IND in the U.S. by the middle of next year, 2018. We're in the midst of doing all our IND enabling studies, all our animal studies, and we're working on our manufacturing. Making all the capsules or tablets, whichever one we decide to end up with, that we'll need for all the studies. So really spending our time doing as much of that work as possible, preparing the file for the FDA.
Great. And could you bring us up to speed on the LK Slav collaboration?
Sure. So that is the Likisheng Foundation based out of Alberta, Canada. Just to let everyone know, Likisheng is actually a very important real estate investor out of China. He's invested quite a bit of money around the world and specifically has a great interest in healthcare. And he donated some money to a foundation. It's his foundation, but they donated some money to a research center in Edmonton, Canada. And one of our laboratories happens to be located there, so we've agreed to conduct a collaboration with the Likisheng Foundation, where we're looking not only at drug discovery, maybe looking for a new asset, but also specifically for them to provide the work on a lot of our preclinical testing. Most of it is covered by us in terms of cash, but occasionally they will come in and they will fund some of the studies. But they are a very famous worldwide hepatitis B organization, and we're honored to be associated with them.
Certainly. So, in terms of your assets, can you talk about what makes the company unique from some of the other players there in your sector?
Sure. Well, I think I should start off by saying that we recently announced that we are not going to move forward with valnibidine, which is our shingles acid, shingles for postherpetic neuralgia pain. And I know there's some consternation and it bears some explanation, but in essence, we believe that the shingles virus really is, just the epidemiology has changed quite a bit in the United States. We made a decision last year to expand our study from 50-year-old patients and above to 30 years old. And we're realizing from talking to our investigators and our key opinion leaders that many of these patients who are 30 years old do not experience the kind of pain that some of the elderly patients. So with that in mind, and we felt because of that, we would have to globalize the study, meaning we'd have to go abroad and open up more sites around Europe and Asia. It would be very, very expensive for us to do that. So we took, you know, what was a very painful decision, no pun intended, just a resource allocation decision, and decided to stop the trial so that we could focus our funds on hepatitis B. So what makes our company unique is we're very focused in hepatitis B, which is a growing marketplace. We think the market will be a $200 billion market within 7 to 10 years. And we have two components of what we believe are important towards getting to the hepatitis B cure. What's interesting is we just came back from the AASLD meeting in Washington, D.C., and for the first time ever, we heard what the experts believe will be a time frame for treatment for an HBV cure. We don't think it'll be 12 weeks, as we've seen in hepatitis C. We believe it'll be a year, and at least that's what the experts are saying. And based on that, they're not sure whether it's going to be two or three drugs, but it'll definitely be a multitude of drugs, and we believe both our products will be part of that cure. So that's where it positions us very uniquely as an antiviral company.
Right, and so what are some of the other key goals and milestones you're hoping to accomplish over the course of the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, I mentioned the first one before, which is getting the IND together for CRV-431 and being in the clinic by the middle of next year. That's really important because then that's our second asset in the clinic. We work pretty quickly, so we hope to be able to finish our phase one program fairly quickly, and if we're fortunate enough, maybe getting into a phase two by the end of the year next year, but definitely we'll be in phase two by 2019. Once we achieve proof of concept in CRV-431, we're certainly able to study it with other hepatitis B compounds that are out there, and more importantly, ours. So we're going to work on TXL as well and try to keep moving TXL forward. We do have a potential catalyst, a very major catalyst for TXL, which I'm not at liberty to talk about right now. But if we do come forward with that, it will truly change the company in a very positive way and will allow us for further partnerships that might be available should this come true. And certainly would advance us at a much faster pace towards commercialization on TXL.
Great. And I don't think we covered this last time, but perhaps you can walk us through your background and experience, James, and talk about some of the key management team there at Contravir.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the team first. So we've got a very senior group. We've got John Cavan, who's our CFO, has been in the business for about 28 years with a variety of different public companies. We have Terry Makovits, who has about 25 years of experience, ranging from Big Pharma to NPS, Shire, Novartis, the medicines company. Terry is in charge of our clinical operations group, doing a fantastic job getting things done very, very quickly. We have Robert Foster, who is our chief scientific officer, who was a CEO himself for about 15 years of the largest public company, public biotech company in Canada. Robert became our CSO when we acquired his company, Cyclophilin. He also invented Voclosporin, which is part of Aurinia, which is a very successful company right now, and also our Cyclophilin, which antagonist, which is CRV-431. He's the inventor and just a PharmD with great capabilities in the PK world. And then we have John Solomon Bollier, who's our chief medical officer, who has been in the business for about 28 years with a variety of hepatitis companies, large companies like Roche and Merck, and ranging to smaller companies like Anatis and Idenix. And Idenix was acquired by Merck, so that's how we wound up at Merck. Myself, 34 years in the business, 17 years with Big Pharma, Eli Lilly, Hoffman Roche, Bristol-Myers Squibb, at BMS, I was the head of international infectious diseases. worldwide. That was a great position where I got to work around the world, both in drug development, but also on the commercial aspect of it. And then I went to Gilead. At Gilead, I was responsible for launching Viriad globally. So both working with the U.S. group and the European and Latin American group. I wrote the business plan at the time for Viriad. Was recruited out of there to Serono, where I ran one of the U.S. groups. Had a great run there for 3 years. We became the most profitable division at Serono. And then I decided to break out and do something different. And I joined Domain Associates as an executive in residence, a very large venture capital firm where I co-founded a company called Tobira. I was the CEO there for several years. And the company was sold last year to Allergan for $1.7 billion for its NASH asset. I had licensed those assets in from Takeda and built the company. And then in between Tobira and Contravera, I was at Aliqua for a short period of time, was able to turn the company around. We turned it into a wound care company, which is not my forte, and that's why I joined Contravera in March of 2014. Coming this March, I'll be here 4 years. I've been part of 23 drug launches. I've led 6 global drug launches in my career, so certainly no commercialization, and have been in the clinical development field for the last 12 years.
Great. And so as far as investors in the financial community, what are some of the key drivers there that you wish perhaps they better understood about you guys?
Well, I mean, every CEO says this, but I might as well just join the pack. We are severely undervalued. I think there's a misconception that we need cash right now, so I'd like investors to understand we don't need cash right now. We don't really need to go out and raise money. I think our stock price is reflecting that we do need to go out and raise money, but that's not the case. One of the reasons we stopped the development of Elnibudine was to save cash and increase our runway. So that's one thing. We're not cash starved. Number two is we've got an awesome senior management team. Every investor I speak to understands that. We've got a good board that understands what our capabilities are. And number three, we've got great products. We've got 2 products now, but two products that we know they work. TXL has proven that in the clinic. It's the third tenofovir, but we believe it's going to be the best tenofovir that's available in the market. Tenofovir is a molecule, sells about $5.5 billion worldwide. We're certainly in a position when we're ready to commercialize to capture a strong portion of that market. And we're an investment for the future. I would not say we're a short-term investment. That's kind of where we are right now. I think we've got a lot of retail investors, and we're hoping that those retail investors decide to hold on to our stock for the long haul, because I don't see a lot of growth in the next month or so. I see the growth coming once we start putting out these catalysts out of the market. These catalysts are going to create great value for all the investors that are in the stock and have had the patience to stay in the stock.
Well, once again, joining us today is James Saperstein, the CEO of Contravera Pharmaceuticals, which trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol CTRV, currently trading at 50 cents a share. Market cap is about $40 million. And before we conclude here, to recap some of your key points, why do you believe investors should consider the company a good investment opportunity today?
Well, we've got 2 terrific products, CRV-431 and TXL. They both will make up part of the HBV cure strategy. It's a good, strong investment. We've got a lot of interest from a lot of people, specifically the scientists who believe we have something important with our products. And we're the little engine that could. I know we're going to get there. I'm confident that we're going to get there. We expect some big catalysts in the next 6 to 8 months, and our share price will get fixed. We believe we'll get back over $1 sooner than later, and then it'll take some of the pressure off some of the investors. So those are the key points. I really don't have much more else I can add to that, is other than we've been executing. We don't miss our milestones. And we sacrifice one of our products to buy us more runway. So we're in good position to hit the milestones we have ahead of us.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk. today, James, and update our investor audience on ContraViewers. Very happy to be on.
Thank you, Juan, and enjoy the rest of the day.